In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity
of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We speak responsibly the words of the introit. My eyes are ever toward the Lord. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after. For he will hide me in the shelter, in his shelter, in the day of trouble. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. My eyes are ever toward the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all of our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all of your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. The Old Testament lesson for this morning comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. It and the gospel lesson will be the source of our sermon meditation. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept silent and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but he does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame.
And is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
The epistle lesson for this Sunday is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the 5th chapter. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise out of respect for the words and deeds of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Holy Gospel for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." Siloam means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some say, "It is he." Others said, "No, it is, but he is like him." He, the man born blind, kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees asked again, how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born into utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believed," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees heard him say these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." This is the gospel of our Lord. Having heard these words of the gospel, we confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his world before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We'll sing the sermon hymn. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the text for our meditation is from the prophet Isaiah and the John passage of the man born blind. We pray, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. John has a lot of my favorite Bible stories in it, the healing of the man born blind, because it's that comparison of who really sees and who really doesn't. We have a guy born blind, that's pretty obvious, he doesn't see, but he's really compared with the Pharisees, the leaders of the people who did see, at least from a human perspective, but obviously then it gets switched around. The blind man, he recognizes Jesus as the Son of God, but the leaders don't. So who really sees and who is really blind? That's the whole question. You know, when it comes to human blindness, the blindness that the man suffered, I don't think any of us, some of us may suffer from decreased vision from compared to when we were kids or whatever, but I don't think anybody here is blind. But, you know, the question is, do people who are blind, do they know they're blind? What do you think? Yes or no? Do they know they're blind? Yeah, they know they're blind. And even like the man, and it's one of those things you don't think about all that much. Or, you know, I guess I think about these kind of things. I'm kind of an odd person, but whatever. You know, it's like, what was it like? I mean, if you've never seen in your entire life, how would you even know what you're missing? But they do. They do know they're missing. So somehow, other people are able to wander around and not bump into things. You know, they can tell when things are far. They can recognize people by sight. And that, anyway, so people who are blind, even though those like the born blind who've never seen, and they know something's missing. They know they're not being able to do something that other people are, even if they don't really quite understand or conceive of what the color red is or anything like that, because they've never seen. They know that. So it's whereas in the other case, like with the Pharisees, they don't realize they're blind, and so it's kind of so the word using blindness is sometimes a little confusing to us. There's a concept though that I think you're probably familiar with. You ever heard of the concept of being nose blind? You know what that means? You know, where you don't smell something. You know, that a big example of that is we were adopting a cat. All right, so. And we went to whatever, and so there's this lady, a true cat lady, and we were supposed to get a cage, you know, kind of a cage, whatever you want to call it, you know, the cats to be with the carrier. Yeah. So, go over, I got tons of them, go over and get one at my house. And so she told us how to get in and everything like that, and she wasn't there. And apparently it was absolutely, I didn't take a count, she had double-digit cats in her house, in cages. And I have no idea how this woman lived there. Because when we got into the garage, whoa, it's like, how do you not know? I mean, it was obvious that there was a lot of cats there. Before we'd even seen one cat, we knew there was a lot of cats. So we'd their own cats. You know, I like cats. I'm a kind of a cat person myself, but it's kind of like, whoa, how do you do this? That's nose blind, when you don't even smell it anymore. And I served near a town called Bogalusa, Louisiana. It's an interesting name. They have a paper mill there. Now, paper doesn't seem like it smells, but I can tell you, when they make paper, it smells. And that was always a joke about the people of Bogalusa, that they're nose blind because you grew up in this town with this paper mill, and you don't even smell it anymore. And I remember a couple times, my wife, because we have a dog, and now we actually have a second one. That's a whole another story of how my brother-in-law's dog is basically at our house all the time. But anyway, so there's two dogs, and my wife has said to somebody, you know, tell me no. She tells them before they even come, because we're trying to make sure, you know, we're keeping, you know, there's no odor, but you get nose blind. You can't smell it. That something is there, and you don't even aware of it. Somebody else that comes kind of go, you know, but and that's the same with. A little more personal, but that's the same with bad breath and body odor. A person themselves can't smell it. Yeah, and my nose, especially because I have sinus issues and whatever, and I'm allergic to cold weather, so today is kind of bothering me. That's why I live down here. I grew up in Illinois. I'm allergic to cold. I haven't gone far in the South, apparently. But anyway, and so, you know, I don't smell things very well. But it's there, and you just don't realize it. So that kind of used that as a nose blind, as opposed to, because people who are really blind, they know it. But when your nose is blind, you don't know it. You're missing something and you don't even know it. And so even if we have 20/20 vision, there's a lot of things we can't see. And I have contacts. And so when my contacts are out, and one of them is kind of bothering me today, I know. You know, I can tell when it's very obvious. And so, when you're nose blind, you don't know. And so even if we see well, there's a lot of things that we can't see. For instance, we can't see the air we breathe. I mean, it's there, but we can't see it. We all kind of take that for granted. We can't see all the radiation that we get bombarded with. And there's even a lot, even before all of our Wi-Fi and radio and microwaves and everything else, there's always been ambient natural radiation, but you can't see it. And then if there's the radiation that's really the bad kind, like nuclear radiation, that kills you, you can't see that either, and it kills you. So there's a lot of things that we can't see. We also can't see, and I'm going to apologize in advance if you're a little squeamish of these, we also can't see all the little microscopic organisms and bugs that are crawling on our skin as we're currently speaking. I mean, we have them inside of our body called bacteria. These things are all around. And bacteria, that's another thing you can't see. You can't see all the bacteria. You know, how does bread get turned into, how does bread meet into bread, yeast? How do things go bad? These things are just floating all over the place and we can't even see them. So there's a lot of things that are out there that are real, but we can't see them. And so also with God. God is real and we can't see Him either. Yeah, He has hidden Himself because of our sin. Nobody can see the face of God and live. So He's real and we can't see them. We also cannot see that Jesus is anything more than just a man. People at His time had that. Even His disciples sometimes had a bit of a problem with that. Now, who is this guy when he's calming the storm? Because they're just a guy, but no, he's more. Nor can we see that there is something desperately wrong with us, with human beings, called sin. We all know that people age and die, but we don't realize that that's really the ultimate cause of it. Nor will glasses, contacts, microscopes, or anything else help us to see that. Only Jesus, the light of the world, who gives sight to the blind, helps us to see that despite our sin and corruption, which is real, I think if you deal with people enough, you realize how real that is, even if you don't see it in yourself, but that help us to see that despite that, that not only is God real, but the Father, through the Son, gives us the Son, Jesus, through whom, He helps those who are blind to be able to see. All people, everybody, comes into this world blind to God and everything about them, about God. Blind to what we are really like inside. Those of you who are animal people, this is like really strange to me as a kid. Really, my grandmother had country cats, as we called them. She lived out in the country, and so there was these cats, kind of feral cats or whatever. We didn't know what that term meant back in those days. But anyway, cats, and they'd have kittens, and we'd see these little kittens, and they have their eyes closed. And that just mind-boggled me. And apparently puppies, so a lot of animals are born with their eyes closed. I don't know enough biology to know why that is, but it just is. And so also like us, just like the puppies and kittens, we're born with our eyes closed spiritually. The only difference is the puppies and kittens very quickly grow out of it, but we don't grow out of it unless our eyes are opened by Christ and His world. People remain spiritually blind to God. And that's, I don't know, again, I guess I think about a lot of things, but why is it? I grew up as a Christian. I've been my whole life as a Christian. All my family, for more or less, is Christian. And so it kind of would mind-boggle me, and even kind of still does to this day, of how people don't believe in God. How people don't, or even if they say they believe in, they don't have anything to do with it. It's just mind-boggling to me. But that's the natural human condition. And it helps explain so much of what goes on in the world, whether in our little corner of the world or the big world that we hear about a lot, is, yes, people by nature do not know God or have any love for God. That is the sad nature of things. And I can't understand, as a Christian, why anybody would turn their back or want nothing to do with God. But maybe, I know in my life, I don't know about your lives, there are people like you can't talk to them about anything. Oh, they get all upset and mad if you bring up religion or anything like that. You just don't even bother. You just pray for them. To me it's strange. It's like an alien. It's like, what, pardon the expression, what the heck is wrong with you? But I even have a friend like that. Although I, over since I've known him 40-some years, I have a little more ability to talk with him about it, and he seems to be more open to it. I see him a couple times a year when I go up north. So, you know, it's just hard for me to understand, but that's human nature. That is human reality. So it's only through God and His Word, through Jesus Christ, that we clearly see the truth about life and the world we live in. Otherwise, it's sometimes a complete boggling mystery why everything is always so screwed up all the time and nothing ever can stay unscrewed up for very long. But as Christians, as people who have, you know, especially probably most people here since the time you were little, been Christians, unless we focus on God's Word and are involved in it, you know, the less time we spend in, the less time we're in God's Word and the less time we're in fellowship with Him, and the more that we focus on ourselves and all the stuff that goes in the world, again, we start to become more and more nose blind. That is, we don't see the truth from God, but we don't notice it. You know, we don't see it because that, and I can definitely identify with that. When I get distracted in life and whatever, then I stop kind of seeing things from God's terms. And I do things and say things that I kind of go, geez, what? You know, like I stir up trouble in my family or whatever. matter of fact, there was a time yesterday where I was with my wife, I had to say, I think I need to just be quiet for a few minutes, otherwise I'm going to start saying things that are going to cause problems. So, because I was kind of, there's a whole story behind all that I can't get into. But anyway, I was tired because of work situations. But I realized that, you know, at least God gave me that so that I wouldn't do and say things that would just end up causing problems. But if we aren't, if our attitude and our focus in life is not upon, you know, God and His Word and the truth of it, then yes, we stop seeing and understanding, you know, how things work. We allow ourselves to get blinded to what's right and what's wrong in God's sight. And that's happening. That's happened through Christians throughout history. My sons and I, we read the Bible every night, and we're going through the book of Samuel and whatever, and that's King David. I don't know how much you know about King David. Yeah, who is Jesus called the son of? David. So yeah, it's a pretty big deal. You know, and God Himself said, "This is a man after My own heart." You know, King David. And yet, if you know the stories of King David, was King David perfect? Oh, goodness, no. Boy, talk about the highs and lows of one person. But anyway, just using him as an example of somebody who obviously followed God. His heart was for God. He did the whole kill the Goliath because, you know, he had the Spirit of God and said, I'm little and he's big. Who cares? God's got him. You know, he'll take care of it. And yet, at the same time, he's the same guy that kind of sinned big also because, again, he lost sight. He wasn't focusing on God. And so he did some pretty bad things in his life as well. And so, yes, when we lose our focus on God and we are not in God's Word, it's nice people are here, you hear God's Word, but that's one hour of a week. You know, if we're not in God's Word, we lose that perspective. And that's why it's valuable, you know, that my sons and I have that time and we talk about the chapter that we read and how it applies to our life. And it helps us during the week. It helps us to learn the lessons and see what's right and wrong in God's sight and see what's truly important. Because once we lose sight of God's standards, what standards are there? What are there? And what are the world's standards? Who knows? Who knows? You know, it's anything goes. Exactly. And I don't say that. I mean, we could spend the next hour going off of every stupid and crazy thing that goes on in our world these days. You know, I'm about to go to my 40-year high school reunion this year later in the summer, and, you know, in those 40 years, how crazy things have gotten since then. But in some sense, that's the world. There is, you know, once you take God out of it, there is no right or wrong. It's what everybody thinks is right or wrong. That, again, reading the Bible. One of the books that we go through in the Bible that's kind of a tough book is called The Judges. You know, that's because everybody did, because the people of Israel, but after they got into the promised land, it didn't take them long, and they went poo off into the ditch, you know, and said everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Well, boy, that's a pretty wide open, some pretty wide open stuff happens in that book. I can't even, you know, there's no children around, but I still won't go into it. But anyway, it's pretty wild stuff happens, wild bad stuff. So that's what happens when people lose, when they become, I hate to use that word, nose blind for these things, but that's, they become blind in that sense because they're not, keeping fellowship with God. So it's only as we keep fellowship with God that we know what's right and wrong in this world. So we get blinded to what's important in life. God gets knocked out of the first place, and hey, that happens. That's a daily challenge for me. Keeping God at the first place in life, because who normally does get to be the first place in my life? Me. What I want to do at any given time, and what I want to read on the internet and whatever else, even if it's not bad, it still takes up lots of time. And so, yes, all kinds of other stuff get muscles in. There's always, especially in our day and age, but it's always been true, there's a lot of stuff that competes for our time and our attention. And so eventually, if we're not careful, God and His kingdom get crowded out completely, and there's very little time left for Him. And again, that's a thing that I have to fight with every week. We also get blinded to the value that God places on each person. We then, if we don't have God standards, we tend to like or dislike people based on all kinds of things, whether it's their appearance, their personal habits, how smart they are, how much money they make, whatever. We tend to view people in terms of what they have to offer us rather than how we might serve them. We lose sight that this is a person that God has created. No matter how messed up they are at all, it's still a person that God has created and Christ bled and died for. And so how dare us consider them to be a burden, good for nothing, inconvenience, or even human garbage? That sometimes we have that attitude towards people, and sometimes people can give us that attitude because of the problems they are. Given how things are, we had a thing last week at work where a lot of, everything's all remote, but a bunch of people came in, and I won't get into all the details because it's not important, but one person that I had not really ever met, he joined our company during that time period. I talked to him on the phone a lot, and so it was all nice doing all that, and we went out to eat at a nice place, and in the conversation, he mentions something about my husband. And I kind of went, oh, okay. So I knew what that kind of meant. Very nice guy. What do I do? I didn't want to show how I felt about that situation, which is how you should feel, I guess, in some sense. But nevertheless, how can I show Jesus' love? So I kind of prayed about that and tried to keep, so I wouldn't show a bad attitude, because that's kind of how I feel about situations, but rather, how can I show God's love to him? How can I show that, regardless of that situation, God still loves them and I do too. And I have a long-term friend who also has issues, but I show God's love to him. And I've had years I can talk to him about things. So that's just one example of people, in our lives. And it doesn't have to be people who are in odd situations. It can be There's a shirt I saw recently that I can't remember. It goes on this, but the one I can remember is I used to be a people person once, and then people ruined it. People are not. And then so I saw another one. I wish I should have kept a mental picture of it. I kind of went. Oh my gosh, that's almost better than that. The one I told you about, but it left my mind. But anyway, that feeling, because people. I mean, we're sinful people. My sons, there are times I wouldn't give a nickel for them, but I love them greatly. My wife, I even had a conversation. My wife is a power pack. She's a force of nature, and there's positives and negatives to that. And sometimes one of my sons said that because we got Eagle Scout projects, and so mom's kind of fussing at them all the time. She's got her. She'd be a great CEO if the company could keep, could put up with her. Because my sense was like, mom means well, but man, she's tough to deal with sometimes. She's just off. Of course, my sons are typical teenagers, especially in this day and age where they're more interested in playing video games and stuff like that than actually getting anything done. But that's just it. People are tough to deal with. I'm sure they could tell you that I'm tough to deal with sometimes. That's the nature of it. But when we see people in God's vision, despite how I am, Jesus loves me and I'm precious to him. Despite how my coworker is, Jesus loves him and he's precious. And Jesus died for that person too. There's nobody that you will ever meet that Jesus did not die for. There's nobody that you'll ever meet that is not a special creation of God, that God is, loves them and is precious and you know, is definitely wanting that to bring them back into His, you know, into His fellowship. So that's important. It, you know, it changes things. Okay, yeah. And some the people in my life can be a pain in the rear, and sometimes I have other things I would rather be doing than whatever it is that I need to do with them, or whatever they think I need to be doing for them, whatever the case may be. But anyway, I try to see people, you know, that they're not people are not a burden. You know, they're an opportunity for service, that we can be God's love. We can help them, especially people who probably know that there's something about, you know, there's people, you know, there's, I heard that thing, you know, we're not wanted in church or whatever. And that's a, you know, it's a group of people, and we're not wanted. And it's like, you know, how do we show God's love and help them to realize that, well, you're wanted, but sometimes the way we live our lives is contrary to God's will, and that has to be dealt with. But that doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean we don't love you. So that's an important thing, and that's important to keep God's word. Okay, so that's important. So as long as we just stick to what our eyes see, we're going to miss a lot. We're going to be blind to all the great things God has done for us in Christ, and we're going to be blind to the things that God is currently doing for us. Through Jesus, we can see in an entirely different kind of view called faith. You know, we walk not by sight, but by faith. You know, listening to what God has to say, hearing His perspective, believing and trusting what He has to say about it, despite what our eyes and ears might tell us. Through faith in God's promises, we can see, that is, know and trust things which are more real, more long-lasting than it meets our eyes. Just try to make this brief. I've heard this even from Christians. Well, in real life, but, you know, that is, church life and church things is just kind of a nice, happy world, you know, happy place that you can go to in your imagination. But in the real world, this is how things really work, you know. And like the world outside of here, that's the real world. In here, we're just being, you know, playing nice or whatever, or you know what, you know, like it's not like God and what He does is not real. It's just kind of a nice thought, a nice feeling that helps people feel better about themselves. But and certainly the world outside here is real. No, you know. Jesus came to a real world and really died, you know, for real people. That's very true. But you also have to remember what's permanent and what's temporary. That's the question. Everything in this life is temporary. Everything with God is permanent, eternal. That's something we can't grasp. That's the real. Everything is real. There's almost nothing. Yeah, movies aren't real. TV's not real. But in the world, you know, people getting cancer. My cousin just found out he has lymphoma. He's 3 years younger than me. His brother died of mesothelioma at 42 years old. He was everybody's favorite cousin. If ever there was a truth of only the good die young, Rodney Mullins lived that. He was a wonderful Christian person with a wife and two kids, and he died at 42 years old. And so that's real. But yeah, when we had his funeral, while it was a sad thing, we celebrated the reality of the fact that he was with the Lord. And while it's a challenge for his wife and his son, who's the same age as mine, who, you know, his dad died when he was 7 years old, nevertheless, you know, Zach is a great Christian young man. You know, he misses his dad, but he knows where his dad is. You know, and so that's, you know, the difference between temporary and reality. And if you ever came to our house, you'd see a lot of things in our house that used to belong to other people. That's not because my wife and I are thieves and steal from people. It's because we have inherited a lot of great things, you know, because my wife loves her family and loved her grandma. And so people would give things to her, you know, when they died, because she spent a lot of time with them, not because she was a gold digger or anything. But anyway, the idea is they used to belong to somebody else, and now they belong to us. That's temporary. And someday, they won't belong to us either. They'll belong to our sons or whoever else, because everything is temporary in this world. But, you know, when we see things from God's perspective, we understand what is truly eternal, what is truly permanent. That's the big deal. And so that's what the difference between faith and seeing with our eyes makes a difference. Real quick, you know, if If we don't have faith in Jesus, we can't see that God is real or His attitude towards us is one of love and mercy. I just shared you something. Life has some tough bumps in it. You know, our eyes would seem to tell us otherwise. A, that how can there be a God when blah, 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 blah happens? I won't go into a list of stuff, but you probably heard it before. You know, and how do we know that God loves us if when these things happen to us? You know, the bumps and the problems of life. You know, we know through Jesus Christ that we are not just some biological accidents that happen, but a special creation of God planned before the foundation of the world. You know, but God planned before the foundation of the world to send His Son for us, to die for you and for me personally, individually. And He is a real part of our lives every day, whether we realize it or not. It's much better when we do realize it. We get to enjoy that, and we get to enjoy the peace and the joy of Him. You know, I've had that in my life. You know, times were tough and whatever. I even had some of that this week, because I had a work-from-home problem where somebody that works for me wasn't getting his job done, and I had to spend some late nights making up for it. So that was not so much fun. And sometimes I really got ground on myself because I should have noticed it. I should have seen it and whatever. But I know, you know, when I see it from God's perspective, it's okay, this is a situation. It's not great, but we'll work through it. And that's, so it's a difference. God was there in both cases. But when I was aware of God and saw it from a God perspective, it made it a lot easier to deal with. I was still up late either way, but it didn't wear me down quite so much. Without faith, we can't see that our sins are forgiven. It can seem that we continually get whammed for our sins. You know, things happen. I used to think of that. When something bad happened in my life, it was because I did something bad. You know, but that's not the case. You know, when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," He really meant it. They really were finished. Our sins are gone. They have been nailed to the cross. They have been separated from us as far as the east is from the west. You know, we can't see that our baptism, the Lord's Supper that we're about to have, the absolution that we just heard, we can't see that that makes any difference, that it really does anything. But we trust God's promise of forgiveness in Jesus Christ in each of those. You know, and more than that, the promise that we are. It's not just a transaction. You got to come in and get your forgiveness each day. We are God's forgiven children. That's our nature. That is who God has made us to be. You know, we can't see that we're any different than we were before, but through Christ, God sees us as new creations, spotless and clean. When God sees us, He sees Jesus in His pureness and His righteousness, not who and what we've been 10 minutes prior. You know, we can't see that we will be raised from the dead at Christ's return. To our eyeballs, death seems pretty darn permanent. We've never seen anybody beat it yet, and I certainly haven't. Yet we know that and trust that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, He has destroyed the power of death, and His resurrection opens to us a way of everlasting life. One of my sons, one of his friends at school, his grandfather passed away over the weekend. And their family sent out, in their Christian family, the people came from all over, and they were at his bedside, you know, which is a blessing from the Lord. It doesn't happen that way for everybody. And they were with Grandpa Frankovich when he died, or close to it anyway. And the text or email that was sent out, it says, you know, Grandpa Frankovich fully and completely healed in Jesus. You know, he was taken to God. He'd been sick for a while, and now he's fully and completely healed. And that's that family's confession of faith, that they did not lose their grandfather. Yeah, they're not going to see him for a while. They'll see him eventually, though, but they know where he is, and you know that that the truth of the resurrection in Jesus Christ and what that means, and so that they will see him again, and he's with Christ. So, yeah, you can't see that. All the eyes see is grandpa's gone, but faith knows that, you know, my grandpa's and my grandma's and the people I love, you know, I will see them again, and I believe and trust it, and I look forward to it. And I even think about that. I'm going to be 58 years old in a month, and it's like I'm 58 years closer to Jesus. That's how I think about it. 58, I don't know how many more years I got to hang around here, but I know that even when I do, you know, I'm serving God. And that kind of gets to the next thing. We can't see by our eyes that serving God makes any difference in this world sometimes. It's really worth the trouble. Our eyes may say, oh, help, whether it's serving in the church or just serving other, you know, helping people or whatever, it's not worth the hassle. And there's so many things I'd rather be doing. You know, this time of year with the March Madness and all that, maybe I'd rather have my rear end in my chair and my remote in my hand watching the games and so forth. And there's nothing wrong with doing that up to a point, but, you know, the things that I do, the things that take me away from doing what I want to do, are worth it, you know, in service to Jesus Christ, whether it's my family, other people, being here, you know, whatever it is, you know, that God calls us. Everything that we do in service to Jesus Christ matters. He has promised that, you know, it's a sweet-smelling aroma in God's nostrils. You know, and we also knew that despite, you know, because I can also, and other people, you know, I don't do anything worthwhile, and nothing, you know, like we look at what we do in service to God and think it ain't much, it ain't worth that much, it isn't that good or whatever, but we know that God uses it. You know, when I talk to somebody and I don't really know what to say to them, you know, like some of the situations I've mentioned earlier, don't really know, you know, when I pray, when I go to my friend's house to visit him, you know, that I would be a good witness and that, you know, there would be an opportunity for me to kind of nudge him a little, you know, more towards God. I, you know, that kind of thing. It may not seem like it accomplishes much, but I know that God uses it, you know, and that's really where the power is. Yeah, my abilities, you know, come, you know, whatever. But God's ability to make use of what we say or do, that's the big deal. So there are many things that we cannot see, totally. We come into this world blind to the truth about God and ourselves. There's no reason it has to stay that way. Don't let ourselves become blind by focusing on ourselves or on the world around us to the point that we lose sight of what's right and what's wrong, what's truly important and the value that God places upon us and other people. We cannot see that God is real, yet we know in Christ that He made and loves us. We can't see that our sins are forgiven, but we trust the promises of God in Jesus Christ, the promise of forgiveness, and that we are His new creations. We cannot see that there will be any life after death for us at all. Yet we know in Christ that His resurrection means our resurrection and the resurrection of our loved ones as sure as day follows night. By the grace of God, you can see clearly the truth that God reveals about Himself through the work of the Holy Spirit, the world, and yourself. Don't let anything blind you. You know, temporarily or whatever, you know, I pray that we, by seeing clearly in Jesus Christ, would make us humble as we see the truth about us and ourselves, not grind us into the ground, but just make us humble, you know, and also that it would make us joyful as we see the greatness of God's love and mercy towards us in Christ, and that it would make us compassionate as we see how many others are lost and blind, and yet God's desire for them as well. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Great physician, enlighten our eyes by your blessed gospel and hide us in your shelter in the day of trouble. Provide a home in your church for those cast out by this world and unite them with us in the pure confession of your name. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of hosts, your Son abides among His saints in the temple of His church. Shelter those who seek refuge under the cover of His tent, and raise up pastors in every age to serve them in your name. Lord, in your mercy. Father, through holy baptism, you have brought us into the light of Christ. Guide us always in your ways, and teach us to know your will, that we would do what is good and right and true. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, those who wait for your salvation have the promise that you will not forsake them. Lead those who wander in darkness through rough places, that they would find the way of righteousness and not be put to shame. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, you have promised that what we suffer does not condemn us, but instead displays your glory. Sustain the afflicted in body and soul, especially Annie Marie Kerenick, Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galavius, Alfred Durson, Jeff Schaffner, Katie Cates and Violet Hill, Sandra Avila, Dean Soberly, Barbara Hanvey, Scott Papka, Bob Dittert, and Donna Tolner, and Lars Langerend, that they would take heart, trust you for healing, and find you even in the midst of their trials. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, everyone who believes in Jesus as Lord will not be put to shame. Unite your people in a right confession of your word and free them from disagreement over your truth. Bring us with penitent hearts to receive the great riches of your Son's body and blood. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You may be seated. We'll have our communion hymn. Please rise. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, ever praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore You that of Your mercy You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
With thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn.